You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Universities are important spaces for learning and social development. That much we all kind of agree on. But universities have also been and continue to be enormous hubs of innovation and research and entrepreneurship. And of course, they are residents. They are citizens of the cities that they occupy. Both Michigan in general and Detroit in particular have really great universities. And many people have associated Wayne State with the city of Detroit. But we have another premier university here as well, University of Detroit Mercy, which plays a crucial role in the city's development, research, and its political evolution. It's a space for learning and innovation in Northwest Detroit and in other parts of the city. And the university now officially has a new president, Donald Taylor. We have invited President Taylor onto the program to talk about why he wanted to fill the position, what he hopes to accomplish while he's there, and what he thinks the university's role should be here in the city of Detroit. President Donald Taylor, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hi, Stephen. How are you? And just call me Don.
Yeah, I absolutely will. It's great to have you here. So let's start with this. Tell us a little about yourself and why you wanted to fill this position at the U of D Mercy.
Sure, Stephen. So, you know, this is my 31st year in Catholic higher education. Spent 23 years in Chicago with the Benedictines, a very entrepreneurial, innovative university. We actually built the first Catholic university in the state of Arizona, Benedictine at Mesa. Then I left and I was president at Cabrini University on the main line in Philadelphia the last 8 years. Had the opportunity to return to the Midwest. I knew a lot about the Detroit Mercy because when I was dean of the sciences at Benedict in Chicago, we would send graduates to the dental school here in Corktown. We had a program with the engineering school. And I had a faculty colleague who was a University of Detroit alum who always talked about what just an outstanding Jesuit liberal arts education that she had received from Detroit Mercy. And when I started looking for my next presidency, I knew I wanted it to be a major comprehensive university that was in a major, I would consider metropolitan, Midwest capital type city. And also what was really attractive was, I think, under the leadership of Dr. Garibaldi the last decade, the university is really poised, I felt, to make a quantum leap. And being able to succeed Antoine and all the work he did in the community and really moving the university forward, many organizations, you have a short window of when you have momentum to really take the next major step forward or leap in that institution's history. And I think everything is here in place. Detroit Mercy, I just passed my day 100 on the job. The response, the sense of hospitality and welcoming of the entire community from our faculty, staff, students, trustees, our 90,000 alumni, and then influencers throughout the region has just been phenomenal. So we couldn't be more pleased to be here. And also on a personal level, my wife and I are both first-gen students, first members of our families to go to college. Mm-hmm. Our three of our four parents didn't even go to high school. So we really know that transformational value of education. And my wife has family in Michigan. And as I said, I've got family south of Chicago. And just being back in this region where there's so many exciting things going on in the city, we just couldn't be more pleased to be here and are fortunate to have this role at this particular instance in the institution's history.
Yeah. I wonder if you can talk more about that connection between U of D Mercy and folks here in the city. The fact that you're a first-generation college student, think of the number of people here in the city of Detroit who are still waiting for that kind of of opportunity. That's always been a challenge here in the city, is making sure that there's opportunity. What does that look like at U of D Mercy?
Yeah, it's great. You know, the McNichols campus in northwest part of the city, as you know, is the campus that the Jesuits founded 145 years ago. And that this campus will always be a campus of opportunity for diverse students that are working to advance, you know, their family's dreams. About a third of our undergrad students are first generation, similar to me. So we and my wife, we feel like we really have a connection with them. And you know, we look at the educational opportunities for the students here. You know, most of our majors have either a co-op or an internship or a capstone field, you know, clinical experience required. So it provides an opportunity really for, as a pathway for upward social and economic mobility. And in the latest U.S. News World Report rankings, you know, we were in the top, you know, 120 or so out of the 5,200 campuses in the country for upward kind of social economic mobility. And so that's a key for us. You know, we have tremendous diversity. When I was lining up the 500 and plus new freshmen doing our procession in for the opening of the school year, I was walking, and the campuses in Chicago and Philly had tremendous diversity. Half the students were students of color, first gen, and large international populations. I see the same thing here. So it's just, it's a great opportunity, a melting pot where we bring students from different backgrounds. I'm actually going out in the community visiting different schools. Actually, right after this interview, Stephen, I'm the dean of our School of Engineering and Science. We're going to visit Keyes Grace Academy, and I'm visiting different schools throughout the city of Detroit, kind of introducing us, reintroducing us, talking about the kinds of partnerships that we could have with those schools to support you know, their students. And, you know, the university, I think, as you mentioned, along with Wayne State, we're the city's universities. We want to be at the table. We want to be a major player in innovation, technology, you know, whether it's community health, but community engagement. So one of the things I said to faculty and staff and the board during the interview process and our opening convocation is Detroit Mercy has to serve our local and then our regional community. They've been doing that. You're aware, Dr. Garibaldi, the phenomenal community development work they've done with Live 6. But we can do more, and we want to do more. You know, our dental school and dental clinic is in Corktown. We're looking to expand that. Our law school is downtown. And we have the right faculty research, faculty student research types of projects and innovation in, within our seven schools and colleges. You know, this is a technology-rich region, so whether it's automotive, you know, we've got strong work and centers in cyber, in robotics, in autonomous driving vehicles. We've got people doing work in drone technology, but also in biotech, green. Community health, we can be a big player in that. I've been meeting with CEOs of major health systems. I'm a biomedical scientist. My wife's a nurse. And so, you know, we have a phenomenal nursing programs from the entry level all the way up to the doctoral level. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary of the Physician Assistance Program. It was one of the first PA programs in the country. And there are other allied health programs that we're going to be launching. So we want to be a key player and really focus the way the dental school and nursing does on community-based health. And finally, our School of Architecture and Design, you know, has done unbelievable work partnering with Kresge for many, many years, working initially Live 6, but the design center through our School of Architecture works with many neighborhoods throughout the city of Detroit, you know, a community-based design project. Mm-hmm. And we're really trying to mobilize, you know, our faculty and our staff to really think, you know, deeply and strategically around how we can enhance our community-based research and really have that, you know, be a cornerstone of the university moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Don Taylor. He is the new president of University of Detroit Mercy. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call. Are you a student or a parent of a student at the U of D Mercy? Did you go to college there? What do you make of the school and its direction, its important place here in the city of Detroit? What do you think it's doing well? What do you think it can do better? Also, if you just have questions for the new leader of U of D Mercy. Give us a call. 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. Don, I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit here.
Sure.
With a pet peeve of mine.
Yep.
The fence around the six-mile campus.
I know it's a
sensitive issue, but
in the first 100 days,
it just projects an image and a dynamic that I think is contrary to everything you were just talking about. All the ways that the university is really trying to be a productive part of the community and connect with the community, and then there's this fence around the whole thing.
Yeah, and so again, I'm, as I said, just past day 100.
You haven't gotten to that quite yet.
Exactly. But what I can tell you, I've been on the listening tour, so I'm listening to, alumni groups and faculty and staff and students and different neighborhood groups. I'm actually going to speak to the university district community. There's 1,400 homes, right? We live in the university district, so there are neighbors and engaged there, and around how we can do more and be, a better neighbor and partner with them. I would say we do have an open campus in the sense that, look, there's one ingress in and one egress out, but people are allowed to get guest passes. We, for the first time since the late 60s, after the U of D tore down the football stadium where the Lions used to play Thanksgiving, on U of D's campus, we had Loyola High School come and play Friday night under the lights, on our turf field. We welcomed hundreds and hundreds of people from the neighborhood, all came in, had a great time on those Friday evenings, with coming out. And we have to look at ways. I think there are ways, we can soften that, et cetera, to do that. But at the same time, as a university, we listen to parents of our students. We listen to both local as well as out-of-state students who come to live on the McNichols campus, as well as international students. And, there are, and some of them might be stereotypes, but there are concerns that, parents have. And so they want to make sure that their child, when they drop them off, is safe. And I'm not saying the fence is the only way that you, demonstrate your commitment to safety of the people who live on our campus and who work here. We have a phenomenal public safety and security force on campus. We have cameras, et cetera. And if you go to the Department of Education stats where all universities are required to upload, their crime statistics, we have extremely low crime rate. And in fact, if you look at us in relation to being an urban university compared to, I just came from Philly, Temple on the northeast side. My son was a student at Temple, massive. They had probably five times the number of public safety law enforcement, and I'm not throwing shade on Temple, but my son went there, and I'm just saying that there was violent crime every week, that touched, came close to their campus. Or look at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, University of Southern California in L.A. And so we're not really much different from those others, except they tend to have a lot larger police presence, than we do. But again, we try to do everything we can to demonstrate hospitality, and we welcome groups and invite people coming in to theater productions, arts, sports, all kinds of things. So we're not turning people away. We're just saying that you need to come in one way. And in fact, I would say, look what's happened in society. And basically, if I want to go see a politician, or I want to go to the courthouse or any other federal building, right, or at the airports, we have to go through, right, and be scanned. That's something that we accept on a daily basis, simply because systems have been put in place, to protect us. So again, I'm new to this. I've heard in all these listening sessions I'm doing, usually at least one person in the audience brings up the fence. And I don't know all the history.
I think one of the things that's true is that, security is a concern for everybody who lives in the city. I live in the city, and I want to make sure that I'm safe too. But one of the things that I found is that by lowering barriers, obvious signs of keep out, it makes people feel more a part of things. And they tend then to feel like they want to watch over it too. If you got rid of the fence, maybe you'd have less of a problem to begin with. I mean, again, I'm not trying to run the university, obviously, and you've got a lot of interest to balance there, but that's just been my experience. Yeah.
What I will say, I've always, no matter what component it was of the educational system or pathways, just because of, again, given my wife and my background, it's a miracle, you know, that we're here and doing what we're doing, given the background that we came from. And so I've always intentionally tried to create educational pathways and remove as many barriers to that. So I'm always open to having the dialogue and discussion, but I haven't been here long enough. I haven't studied it long enough yet, you know, to have a decision at this point.
Yeah, I get it. 100 days is a pretty short
window. Every side, right? I hear it on every side. When parents come to campus, I hear one side. If the mayor's office calls, I hear a different side, right? Yeah. And then literally everything in between. So I think, you know, we can certainly, and we are engaging with the community around discussions, and that will be part of them. But one of the things that we're also doing is, as we bring students in groups and parents buses, we want to not only after we show them the campus, but we want to take them up and drive them and show them the amazing work that's been done in Live 6, from Liberal North, from 6 Mile to 8 Mile. We want to drive them
through
really
different place
University
than it used
District.
To be.
Totally yeah. different, right?
Yeah. Hey, I want to quick. We're going to run out of time, but I want to quickly take a phone call here. Denise in Franklin. We've got about a minute left, but go ahead, Denise. Are you there, Denise?
Yes. Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Denise. Yeah, I'd like to ask your guest what has been his experience over the years and what are his plans in regard to helping make sure that students that start at U of D Mercy are able to complete their college.
Great question,
within
Denise.
Within 4 to 6 years.
Yeah, great question, Denise. Don, we've got a minute left, but
sure.
Address that. Yeah.
Great question, Denise. We're totally committed to making sure you can't just have an access agenda and say you want to bring in first-generation students and students from diverse backgrounds if you don't have a completion agenda, which is the question Denise is asking. So, I mean, we try to do everything we can and really looking at the total education of the student, educating them holistically, and making sure we have the necessary support systems and the wraparound from campus ministry through robust student services, through, you know, a really intentional advising system. You know, our retention's really good just coming out of COVID. We 86% of the new students from a year ago returned this year. That's a very high statistic. You know, our graduation rate is in the low 70s. We can always do better. And again, the university is committed to that. I'm committed everywhere I've been, and my last four campuses.
Yeah.
You know, we were really committed to putting everything in place that we could to make sure that we had a robust completion agenda and our students were graduating with as low a debt as we could. So making sure we have additional scholarships when a kid has to stop out to help them stay in, all those kinds of things.
We're running out of time. So, Don, I really appreciate you being here. Welcome to Detroit. We look forward
to
what you're going to do on the campus.
Great, thanks. Anytime, okay?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when one of my favorite people is going to join us. Des Cooper is going to talk about her new book, Nothing Special. It's a kid's book about the beauty of intergenerational connection. This is 101.9 WDET-FM.